This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Berkeley Life Nitric Oxide Support Supplements. Nitric oxide is a vital signaling molecule in cardiovascular health. We all make nitric oxide in our bodies, but as we age, it starts to diminish naturally. Being proactive in maintaining nitric oxide levels is vital for healthful aging because an underperforming cardiovascular system will limit the effectiveness of any other supplementation in your regimen. Just two capsules of Berkeley Life daily provides the dietary nitrate equivalent of 7 ounces of beets and can support energy levels, maintain healthy blood pressure levels, and improve general circulation. It's the professional-grade nitric oxide supplement that I recommend and prescribe for my patients. This is only available from healthcare providers. To get your Berkeley Life professional supplements, just go to drhoffman.com/Berkeley Life. That's drhoffman.com/Berkeley Life. You can also get Berkeley Life's patented nitric oxide test strips to conveniently test your own nitric oxide levels safely and easily at home. That's drhoffman.com/Berkeley Life for Berkeley Life nitric oxide supplements.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. The program is about intelligent medicine. That means the best of high-tech medicine, the best of natural therapies. We put those together for you each weekend in an effort to improve your health and help your friends and loved ones achieve optimal wellness. 877-726-8255 is our number. And you can call us this hour. And I think there's a lot of coronavirus apprehension. So we're going to talk coronavirus. And we're going to keep talking coronavirus until coronavirus recedes, hopefully, into the rearview mirror, which may ultimately happen. We can look forward to a day when we can just get back to the business of talking about diet and supplements and other serious medical conditions. 877-726-8255. Let's start with a rundown on the situation today as regards coronavirus. Coronavirus is now in a large number of countries. It particularly is concentrated, of course, in China, Italy, Korea, and Japan. There's some big outbreaks there. But the numbers appear to be tapering in China, which is encouraging. It suggests that the natural course of the virus, as with many viral epidemics, is to ultimately burn itself out. And so there's a lot of speculation now that the Chinese really botched the initial management of coronavirus, that they acted too late to initiate containment measures to prevent its spread through the very vulnerable populace over there. Conditions are rife for transmission of the virus in China. There's a high population density. People live very close together, packed in cities and in crowds. And there may have been some missteps in Korea, where they allowed people who were possibly infected to get together in large gatherings. In particular, one church group in Korea may have spread it to dozens and perhaps hundreds of people because, they simply weren't aware of the potential for it to spread. The Chinese, the situation is complicated by the fact that there's an authoritarian government there. And initial whistleblowers who tried to call attention to this were instructed to basically shut up. And in fact, one doctor was forced to engage in what is kind of a political tradition over there, self-criticism. He had to issue a YouTube statement saying that he was being alarmist. And then ultimately, he died. Actually, one of the first whistleblowing doctors succumbed to the epidemic over there. Now, instead of underreacting, they may be overreacting because there's no ACLU over there in China. There's no individual rights. People are afraid to cough or sneeze because if they're spotted by a government official or agent, they may be whisked away into a containment facility away from their families and potentially with other people who really have a bad case of coronavirus or they're almost certain to come down with it. In fact, a recent report, I'm looking at the dispatches today on cable news, one quarantine facility in China, the building literally collapsed from the load of people that they shoved into that facility, overstretching its capacity to hold bodies. And there may be inadvertently additional victims of coronavirus over there. There are some dire estimates, 15 million deaths worldwide. I kind of doubt that. I mean, always when there are natural events and calamities, there are people who are doing kind of a Chicken Little, saying that the sky is falling, the sky is falling. It grabs a lot of headlines and attention. But I think that the toll will be far less than that, although it's unclear where this is going. Is it getting milder as it passes along through human transmission? Well, there's a tendency for genes to mutate, and it is now thought that there are different forms of coronavirus. There's the L strain versus the S strain. The L strain, more deadly, the initial strain seen in China. Now the S strain seen in community-acquired coronavirus across the world may be milder. And there was a report that the death rate was as high as 3.4%. But then President Trump poo-pooed that in an interview with Sean Hannity, and immediately he was pounced upon for minimizing the epidemic. But Anthony Fauci of the Centers for Disease Control admitted that it may be that we're vastly overestimating the death rate, because when you're dead, you're dead. It's clear cut. It's obvious. I mean, it's incontrovertible. Well, but if you have a mild sore throat and you sneeze a little and you self-quarantine at home and you never come forward to be tested, well, you are the denominator, where the numerator is the number of deaths and the denominator is the number of people out there who may be carrying the virus with mild infections or maybe with no signs of infection at all. So the New England Journal of Medicine said that the death rate potentially is comparable to that of the flu, 0.1%, but we won't know for a while until we do, if ever, more comprehensive testing. Well, there's just not enough test kits. Let's say a patient calls me and says, I think I have the coronavirus. What am I going to tell him? I don't even know where to get a hold of a test kit. I could notify the Department of Health and maybe they could get around to testing the person, but my best advice for them would be to stay home and not go to a hospital unless they're having trouble breathing, in which case they might be critically ill and require hospitalization. Most cases are self-limited and mild, and going to a hospital only increases the chances that you'll spread the virus. So it may be very hard to determine what the ultimate death rate is associated with coronavirus. A lot of havoc has occurred. Expo West, which is the premier event of the natural products industry out there on the West Coast in Anaheim, was canceled. And that involves 20,000 booths and exhibitors with tens of thousands of attendees. They just called it and said, don't get on a plane, don't come from hither and yon and congregate in a closed space where this could be a nexus for viral spread. Same thing with a big, big event in Austin, Texas, a much anticipated cultural and music event, South by Southwest, canceled with a great economic hit to those communities and to the people involved. Hospitals are jammed, and it's really not a pretty picture. Drugs and medical supplies that we depend on come from China, and they're critically backlogged. It said that 95% of the antibiotics that we use in this country come from China, and many of the raw materials for other drugs come from China. There will be shortages, and people may get sick and may even die, not from coronavirus, but from the consequences of the coronavirus. virus. So lots and lots of devastation that's occurring, and I have some thoughts on that. And I'm going to make a plea for sanity in the face of this coronavirus outbreak. 877-726-8255 is our number. You can weigh in with your thoughts and opinions or questions relating to coronavirus or anything that's on your mind related to intelligent medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we'll be right back. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with one of my personal solutions to better cardiovascular health, Berkeley Life Nitric Oxide Support Supplements. Nitric oxide is a vital signaling molecule in cardiovascular health. We all make nitric oxide in our bodies, but as we age, it starts to diminish naturally. Being proactive in maintaining nitric oxide levels is vital for healthful aging. Just two capsules of Berkeley Life daily provides the dietary nitrate equivalent of 7 ounces of beets and can support energy levels, maintain healthy blood pressure levels, and improve general circulation. It's the professional-grade nitric oxide supplement that I recommend and prescribe for my patients. This is only available from healthcare providers. To get your Berkeley Life professional supplements, just go to drhoffman.com/berkeleylife. That's drhoffman.com/berkeleylife. You can also get Berkeley Life's patented nitric oxide test strips to conveniently test your own nitric oxide levels safely and easily at home. That's drhoffman.com/berkeleylife. Berkeley Life nitric oxide supplements.
You're young at heart. Let's keep it that way. Stay feeling young with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract, designed specifically to help support and strengthen your cardiovascular system as you age. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract was founded on scientific research and has been the subject of more than 800 research studies over the last 45 years, revealing its significant cardiovascular benefits. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract cardiovascular, blood pressure health, cholesterol, and circulation formulas are just a handful of the many Kyolic supplements that can help reduce the major risk factors of heart disease and promote overall heart health. Organically grown, Kyolic Garlic is aged up to 20 months, has no pungent odor, and is gentle on the stomach. Make a resolution today to stay young at heart and keep your cardiovascular system strong for years to come. Get Kyolic today, available at fine natural health retailers nationwide.
To find the Kyolic formula right for you, go to Kyolic.com. That's Kyolic.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. We're running down the coronavirus, the potential threat that it may pose to you, what you should do about it. Is there a solution in sight? Are we all going to die, basically? 877-726-8255 is our number. And, you know, one of the things I noticed this week is, I frequently check, our website at, Fullscript, drhoffman.com/Fullscript is where our listeners and my patients can order their supplements. And I checked on some, common, immune formulas, and it's amazing. There's been a run on natural products for supporting immunity. Products that contain echinacea and elderberry and combinations of zinc and selenium and, you know, you name it. These are in short supply and sometimes back ordered on some of the popular websites. So there's really been a surge of interest in protecting oneself with things like oregano and olive leaf. All these are flying off the shelves. And it's also impossible to get disinfectant, Purell, masks. Forget about it. There's a lot of gouging on masks. They're charging exorbitant amounts for masks, which are unclear whether they're going to do anything for you. The N95 mask is thought to be the ultimate mask for protecting you from the virus, but it has to be properly fitted, and it's not something that you just casually buy on the internet and, you know, put it on your face. It's masks might be helpful in the case that, you know, say someone in your household gets the coronavirus. It's confirmed that they have the coronavirus, and they can wear a mask to prevent them from spreading droplets around, but they still can spread the coronavirus. It's not an impregnable barrier against spread. And wearing the mask outside yourself, and say you're going on the subway, is actually kind of ridiculous. It doesn't really do anything because the particles are too small. They can go around the mask or through the mask with conventional surgical masks. So, forget about I was on a subway the other day. You know, I just had to get out of the house and I went to the museum and a lot of intrepid New Yorkers decided, what the heck, you know, I'm going to go out, go use public transportation, go to a museum where people congregate. And there were a few people wearing masks, but the vast majority of people were kind of chill. What I noticed conspicuously is that nobody sneezed, nobody coughed, because that would attract a lot of attention. Ordinarily, you know, somebody sneezes, somebody coughs, no biggie. But now you cough or something, and you are a pariah, big time. So a lot of people not putting their hands on their faces, sticking their fingers in their eyes or their noses. That's all good. That's one way to prevent the spread. There's also been, reports that in China, China has been contending with pneumonias and serious fevers for millennia, and they have established ways with traditional Chinese medicine to deal with that, using various herbal combinations. And there's studies underway to see if these herbal combinations are efficacious. And they're even using acupuncture to, support the breathing and to, help people surmount the virus. I mean, there's no medication that works for this. They're also using intravenous vitamin C under experimental protocols in China, which should be interesting if they can organize good clinical trials. It would also be interesting, and I really advocate for this, check out whether people have been smokers, whether people live in urban areas, or in China, living in Beijing or Shanghai, major urban area, Wuhan, is the equivalent of smoking a pack of cigarettes a day. I mean, let's face it, there's the respiratory tract of the vast majority of Chinese in urban areas is compromised to begin with, and then you get the virus on top of that, and we're going to see some deaths. Good news from Germany. A German researcher named Markus Hoffmann, with two N's on the end. My father, when he came to the United States from Berlin, he dropped the N. That was during World War II, because it was kind of advisable not to have a German name during World War II. This Dr. Markus Hoffmann has discovered that a drug, relatively uncommon drug, it's called camostat mesylate. I never heard of it. It's a protease inhibitor that's used in Japan for pancreatitis. It's kind of an obscure drug, but it has the ability to block the entry of the coronavirus into cells. And they're doing experimental trials on that, so that should get interesting. It's not an antiviral. It doesn't kill the virus, but it blocks its entry into the cells where it can infect them. What it boils down to is we need to decide between containment versus mitigation, because containment might mean, everybody stay home, don't go anywhere, work from home, no public gatherings, cancel all events, cancel weddings, cancel everything, and then we can maybe stop this from spreading. But once the cat's out of the bag, once it's spread, it may be that the economic devastation caused by containment is worse than the virus itself. Virtually you can get to see any show on Broadway tonight on a Saturday night, which is an unusual circumstance here in New York because nobody wants to go out in public. Nobody wants to travel. People are canceling their vacation plans. The stock market is plummeting. Mitigation might mean we take the sickest, we take care of them, we allow people who have what may be the equivalent of a mild flu or common cold to stay home and self-quarantine. These are measures that may help to turn the tide on this. Here's one scenario. After a few weeks of this, coronavirus fatigue may set in. Let's pray for that outcome. We may just get bored with it and decide, what the heck, let's go back to our normal lives again. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 877-726-8255 for Intelligent Medicine. Do you suffer with chronic pain? Are you taking risky over-the-counter or prescription anti-inflammatory drugs? This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a better natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, Liquid Turmeric Liposome Complex. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposomes and nanotechnology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. Sourced and manufactured in the United States, this product contains 1,600 milligrams of curcumin and powerful antioxidant properties. This plant-based curcumin is used to possibly reduce inflammation, block proteins that trigger swelling, and intercept inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Don't live with pain when there's an all-natural, science-based remedy that works. Take advantage of Future Farm's buy two, get one free offer at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with one of my personal solutions to better cardiovascular health, Berkeley Life Nitric Oxide Support Supplements. Nitric oxide is a vital signaling molecule in cardiovascular health. We all make nitric oxide in our bodies, but as we age, it starts to diminish naturally. Being proactive in maintaining nitric oxide levels is vital for healthful aging. Just two capsules of Berkeley Life daily provides the dietary nitrate equivalent of 7 ounces of beets and can support energy levels, maintain healthy blood pressure levels, and improve general circulation. It's the professional-grade nitric oxide supplement that I recommend and prescribe for my patients. This is only available from healthcare providers. To get your Berkeley Life professional supplements, just go to drhoffman.com/Berkeley Life. That's drhoffman.com/Berkeley Life. You can also get Berkeley Life's patented nitric oxide test strips to conveniently test your own nitric oxide levels safely and easily at home. That's drhoffman.com/Berkeley Life. Berkeley Life nitric oxide supplements. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. 877-726-8255 is our number. And that's a number that you can call 24/7, even if you do not call during our live program. You can call that number anytime you like, 24/7, and you can record a question, as did this caller. Let's hear it.
Thousands of people die from the regular flu every year, and only a handful, I guess, or less have died in the United States from this new epidemic. I wonder if we aren't overreacting, like many other things that we've done in the past. Like I said, thousands died from the regular flu. Nobody's wearing masks. Nobody's canceling reservations. Nobody's staying home. And we're getting by just fine. I'd be interested in your comment on that. Thank you.
Okay. Well, you know, that argument has been raised. And in a way, it is kind of a spurious argument. You know, you could say, well, how many people die of cardiovascular disease because how many people develop diabetes and, you know, suffer toe and leg amputations because we allow sugar-sweetened beverages to be consumed on a widespread basis? Or how about pollution? You know, air pollution kills millions of people worldwide. And so, you know, let's keep it in perspective. We're talking about, yeah, okay, you know, a couple of thousand people in China, and, you know, maybe this will develop into something that will sweep the world. But the death toll is, you know, as you state, is dwarfed by the number of people who died due to the flu. But we can't, you know, say, well, just because of that, let's forget about this and let's not undertake efforts to contain this virus, which may add to the death toll. But it's kind of an interesting thing. I came across an interesting comment in the Wall Street Journal. I think it was Holman Jenkins, who writes a column in the Wall Street Journal, who wrote the following. To repeat, nothing similar has been tried with respect to flu outbreaks that kill thousands a year because until now, nobody thought it worth doing. And what he's talking about is these efforts at containment. You know, like, let's find the people with the flu and let's isolate them. They just don't do that. They accept the flu as a kind of a routine hazard that's seasonal. And that, yeah, some people are going to die, but, you know, take your flu shot. And even if it's not that effective, it's, you know, we're just resigned to the fact. He says publics everywhere accepted flu risk, which COVID-19 may be no worse than. I mean, we don't know that right now. It seems to be more communicable than the flu and perhaps more dangerous with more fatalities. But that just may be because we note the deaths and we don't know how many people out there actually have mild cases of coronavirus. Publics everywhere accepted flu risk as a cost of going about their lives in the world. And this is something that we'll only know in a few months, but they compile statistics on the flu, Every year they come up with, the incidence of the flu, the death toll associated with the flu. It's an estimate, of course, because not everybody with the flu comes forward and gets tested, and it's, not necessarily confirmed. There are probably thousands and thousands of people just stay home and, take Tylenol, and, they're fine. But it'd be interesting to see if in a few months, if because of the containment efforts for the coronavirus, the number of flu cases and the number of flu deaths is actually decreased, because I can't remember a time when people have been so freaked out. I mean, all the things that they're telling you to do for the coronavirus are common sense things that you should do for the flu. It's like, if you are sick, stay the hell home. Don't, take some Tylenol and then go to work. Don't send your kids to school if they're sick. If you cough or sneeze, cover, your mouth, sneeze into your sleeve. These measures, are not commonly undertaken. Oh, by the way, people who come from countries like Italy, China, Korea, Japan, they have had recent travel. They're asked to self-quarantine at home. Let's say there's a lot of flu in one country or another. Across the world, people fly in planes and they just go to work the next day. They don't self-quarantine. What about all these meetings, these big public gatherings that are being canceled? What about the instructions from big companies like work from home? They tell, Amazon workers and Microsoft workers and Apple workers, use your home computer and mail, basically email it in, text us. Use some of the platforms that we have for collaborative work online. Be productive. Stay out of the workplace. What's it going to do to flu transmission? That's kind of an interesting question. And how much are we willing to compromise our economy, our lifestyles? Will there be a time when we all collectively get cabin fever and we say, okay, there's some cases out there, but they're not that numerous. We've already canceled our vacation. We don't go to movies. They've delayed the new James Bond movie because they don't want to have it open to empty movie theaters, especially in China, where that kind of action flick is very big. It's a big, big mess, and it's afflicting our 401ks. I'm just hoping that coronavirus fatigue will set in before some widespread death toll develops. Hopefully that won't occur, and then people will just say, okay, it was a flash in the pan. But people are at risk if they minimize it. Public health officials, government officials, because they can be tagged with the specter of complacency. They've already politicized this enough. They've said, this current administration doesn't know what it's doing. They're minimizing it. And, that could easily be interpreted as, the president's reassuring people that, life doesn't necessarily have to grind to a halt, because of the specter of this virus. That's kind of like, consoler in chief. He's supposed to be in that role, but, it's a fine line between being consoler in chief and denier in chief. You don't want to go down in the annals of history as someone who, like the Chinese, minimized the problem when it was more pervasive than was acknowledged. I hope that answers your question. All right, 877-726-8255 is our number. To switch gears a little bit, are you suffering from chronic pain? Are you taking risky over-the-counter prescription anti-inflammatory drugs? Well, I'm here to tell you about a better natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, liquid turmeric liposome complex. Future Farms liquid turmeric with liposomes and nanotechnology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. It's sourced and manufactured in the United States. Thank goodness there's no shortage because of a supply chain that extends to China. This product contains 1600 milligrams of curcumin and powerful antioxidant properties. This plant-based curcumin is used to possibly reduce inflammation, block proteins that trigger swelling, and intercept inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216. That's 888-7, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's Future Farm, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Don't live with pain when there's an all-natural, science-based remedy that really works without adverse side effects. Take advantage of Future Farm's buy two, get one free offer at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Check it out. All right. This is the weekend when we all go to daylight savings time. And the Europeans have already voted it out. They're going away from daylight savings time. There's a big article in the Wall Street Journal this week. Research shows the annual shift disrupts sleep and leads to a higher immediate risk of heart attacks and strokes. And now health experts want to stop daylight savings time. There's really a lot of advocacy for this. And they've done surveys, and they found that 28% of people polled are happy with the status quo. 31% would like to be on daylight savings time all year round without a switch back in the fall. And 40%, so actually a plurality, would prefer sticking solely with standard time. So what happens on Sunday morning at 2 a.m. is that we lose an hour. And that typically results in some degree of sleep deprivation and disorientation for people. And they get used to it. It's kind of like the equivalent of a trip from New York to Chicago. And it shifts your circadian rhythm. But a lot of medical researchers are concerned about that. There's something called the Society for Research on Biological Rhythms. They published a study last year calling for abolishing daylight savings time. The head of that organization says daylight savings time means that we virtually live in another time zone without changing the daylight cycle. The problem is the misalignment. The circadian clock is trying to optimize our physiology. Now suddenly we have to do things which we are not at the biological appropriate time to do. They report that there's an uptick in heart attacks the morning after. That would be Monday. And there's even an increase in the number of traffic accidents. Also, you know, for me, the adjustment, you know, I feel the adjustment, but I would just as soon dispense with it because I'm kind of a morning person and I like morning light. I wake up with the light coming in the morning. And finally, it's getting light early in the morning. So this is going to set back the clock so that it's dark later. And that's just not invigorating for people to try to get up early in the morning. I mean, it looks great for, you know, people who want to, you know, kids who want to play longer in the park. You know, the expression used to be, go out and play and come home before dark. Okay, well, we're extending the daylight so kids have more of an opportunity to run around. That's good. But, you know, it gets a little ridiculous because it's, what, it's dark at like 8 o'clock in certain parts of the northern latitudes in the United States. It's even worse in Europe because Scandinavian countries, it's like the midnight sun. They say that the American Academy of Sleep Medicine reported that 55% of Americans report feeling tired after their transition to daylight savings time. Well, you're losing an hour. That makes sense. So I don't know. This is the first time. I mean, every year the buzz grows stronger for rescinding this time change. And I think it's just a matter of time before we either resign ourselves to permanent daylight savings time, which is going to be lousy for mornings during the winter, because it's going to really mean that it's going to be dark very, very late in the morning. And that's just not very invigorating for morning people. Or alternatively, go back to standard time. And it is a worldwide trend towards it. And I think that the days of time change may be numbered. You know, we'll have to see. There's a lot of inertia when it comes to changing big policies like daylight savings time and standard time. But I think the time has come for reexamining that proposition. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 877-726-8255 for Intelligent Medicine.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As you know, this is a vital time to bolster our immune defenses. I've received countless requests for a specific list of supplements that I recommend to support immune health. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Immune Support Protocol, my supplement recommendations offering the greatest boost for your immune system when it's needed most. Best medicine is preventive medicine. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information. drhoffmanstore.com. In addition to the immune support protocol, you'll find easy to follow links for our supplement starter kit, heart health protocol, and much more. These protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle. The same supplements I take for myself and prescribe for my patients. And for a limited time, you'll get free priority shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Got a good gut feeling? Well, Michael Shore certainly did in 2000 when he founded Essential Formulas to distribute Dr. O'Hara's probiotics in the U.S. While Mike was visiting Malaysia in 1997, he came down with severe digestive distress. A local doctor recommended a fermented probiotic paste made from natural fruits and vegetables developed by international award-winning microbiologist Dr. O'Hara. Mike recovered quickly and flew to Japan to meet Dr. O'Hara to discuss bringing Dr. O'Hara's probiotics to North America. That's the story of how Essential Formulas was formed 20 years ago. And on their 20th anniversary, all of us want to congratulate Essential Formulas for bringing superior probiotic supplements that are now standard at every natural health retailer across the U.S. From Dr. O'Hara's probiotics to probiotic lotions and beauty bars for skincare to their new probiotic collagen products, Essential Formulas is your go-to place for probiotic health and wellness. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, 877-726-8255. Let's take one of those recorded calls from someone who called in on that number.
I had bypass surgery about a month ago, triple bypass. My ejection fraction after the surgery was as good as before, 60%. I'm currently on atorvastatin, low-dose aspirin, and metoprolol. I'm wondering if it's safe to take AHCC to ward off the coronavirus.
Okay. Well, you know, that's a great question because, AHCC is one of the plausible, treatments for supporting immunity. Now, I will say this is that we have no definitive proof that AHCC does anything versus the coronavirus. It would be, premature and kind of exploitive to say, oh yeah, take AHCC to ward off coronavirus. To goose sales of AHCC. By the way, if you probably go online, you're probably not going to find a lot of AHCC left on the you know, on the shelves, because a lot of people are gravitating towards compounds like that, you know, elderberry, oregano, etc., olive leaf, and so on, to boost their immune responses. But it's actually one of the more plausible things that you can take. And first of all, let me assure you that it is compatible with your medical situation and the medications you're taking. There's no conflict, real or potentially or hypothetically, with some of the drugs you're taking. And, you know, people who have heart disease, as, you know, by definition, I mean, you're probably fine, you know, you got your bypass, but people who have cross that threshold of having a bypass or been told that they had a heart attack, something along those lines, they are at higher risk of dying of the coronavirus. There's no question. They're part of the vulnerable population that's out there. Whereas individuals who are otherwise in good health, who are relatively young, the death rate is, you know, very, very, very low. So, to protect yourself, you may want to take AHCC. So let's review what the evidence is for AHCC. First of all, what is it? It's active hexose correlated compound. It's one of the most popular supplements available in Japan. And they're probably using a ton of that in light of the fact that coronavirus is over there. AHCC, is an enzyme fermented extract of Basidiomycetes mushroom. So it's kind of a processed, concentrated mushroom extract. We know the mushroom extracts contain polysaccharides, which can enhance immunity, specifically T-cell activity. And that has antiviral effects, the natural killer cells being part of the T-cell population, as well as anti-cancer effects. So In clinical studies, mostly they've studied AHCC in relationship to the flu. It does seem to help reduce the likelihood of the flu. Again, influenza is not coronavirus, but one can infer that some of the benefits may be transferable to a slightly different type of respiratory virus. Also, interestingly, you know, when you take the flu shot, it's not a bad idea to take some AHCC because the flu shot often doesn't take, especially if you have lowered immunity, if you're elderly or sick. And by taking AHCC, it actually increases the efficacy of the flu shot, should you choose to take that. So, yeah, there's a lot on AHCC and resistance to influenza infection in animal studies. There's some human studies, although not all that many. It's a plausible thing. Beta glucans derived from mushrooms and yeast cells. And there are several products that incorporate that principle, including AHCC, but, you know, also maitake mushrooms, these extracts also, and even certain yeast extracts, have the beta glucans that seem to support the immune response. So, you know, there you have it. I think it's a reasonable thing to take for prevention. This item, you know, it has to do, with, you know, when kids are encouraged to go out and play, you know, to burn off calories, but then that's sometimes taken as justification for a sugary snack because, hey, you know, you burned off all those calories, you've earned it. I've dealt with this working with some athletes. They just seem to be, in spite of their athleticism, just a little bit overweight. And what they do is they carbo load. They have like donuts and bananas and orange juice after, say, a long bike ride. I coached one cyclist who was a terrific cyclist, but he had a little bit of a bulge around the midsection. I said, you are carbo loading too much after exercise. Well, this study, led by Brigham Young University Public Health Researchers, finds that the number of calories kids consume for post-game snacks far exceeds the number of calories they actually burn playing in the game. Kids are being propagandized that they need a snack for energy. We don't need to load up children with sugar after a game. So parents, beware.